Thanks for listening to Schlereth and Evans On Demand. Did you know you can listen to us on Alexa? Enable our skill today, then say, Alexa, play 104.3 The Fan.
Oh, yeah, I need this.
So good. Such. I forgot. Bring a smile.
Need this. Here, it's a Friday. Memorial Day weekend is here. Long weekend. I'm a man. Hope everyone's in a good mood. The sun actually, when the sun came out for a while yesterday afternoon, I was like, oh my God, that's the sun. It literally had been gone that long.
I was surprised how light it was this morning, because yesterday I drove and it was so rainy, I didn't even know that the sun was out there. Come on.
Welcome to it. Friday is here. Is it just me Friday? Give you a chance to get stuff off your chest. How about this? Tim and Littleton right off the bat. Is it just me? Mark, you should check out the list of milk drivers of the Indy 500 requested if they win. Lots of real whole milk guys there. It's all whole milk.
It is.
They're not chugging skim milk.
No.
They're not chugging 2%.
Right. They're not going, can I have some 2% over here? Some probably straight heavy whipping cream.
Oh, yeah.
That's where I'd be.
That's where, yes.
By the way, the Indy 500, have you ever been to the Indy 500?
I've not been to the, I've not been to the race itself. I've been to the track.
Mm-hmm.
When the Super Bowl was in Indy one year, we had, the media night was out at the racetrack. And so it was cool. I mean, we got to walk right down to the track, the start mm-hmm. finish line, and kiss the bricks and all that kind of stuff. That place is mammoth. Just mammoth. You were there for an actual race.
Yeah, for a couple of years ago, I was the grand poobah of the St. Petersburg, whatever it is, open wheel racing, you know, the street course or however you say that. And so the folks go, hey, man, if you ever want to come out to Indy? And I thought, what the heck? I'm going to go out to Indianapolis, watch the 500. And it is. Now, 350,000 people pack mm-hmm. into that state. 350,000 people. I mean, it's ridiculous, but it was really cool. It's one of those, if you're a sports fan, even casual sports fan, it's kind of a cool bucket list thing to do.
Do you have anything on your sports bucket list? What's on there for you? Anything
that I have to go see? No. I mean, I think going to watch the Masters that'd be a really cool thing. I'd probably get kicked out. I'd do something that, you know, the patrons aren't allowed to do, right?
You'd call them fans and get booted.
Right. Or I'd be taking a whiz on a tree.
Oh, jeez. No, you wouldn't. Well, maybe you would.
Yeah. You're not allowed to do that.
No, I do not think. Not just Augusta. I'm sure there are a lot of golf courses you're not allowed to do that.
I don't think that's true.
While there are people there. Now, if you're just out playing yourself, sure.
Well, I'm not going to.
Sure, we've all done that.
Right. I'm not saying that.
But you're talking about tournament?
I'm just
going
to be taking a whiz right by. Oh, sorry, I got a little on your leg there. Like, as we're walking through. No, I mean, I would.
You'll be discreet?
Yeah, I'll be hiding behind a tree. I'll find a peachy. That's what I'll find, Mike. Anywho.
Bob in Orlando checking in. Good morning, guys. It's 94 degrees on the way up to 100 this weekend. I don't want to get to 100. I don't want to get to 94, but I would like, we get back into the 80s maybe?
You know, it was funny.
Upper 70s?
The other day I was doing an SMT about RVing and everything else, and I was standing.
SMT?
Satellite Media Tour.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I was out there, and, you know, I'm bouncing around from, you know, from city to city to city, talking to, you know, the kind of morning coffee shows and all these things, you know, television. And inevitably, I'm freezing. I mean, like, literally, it's 32 degrees. I'm out in a chair, you know, and, yeah, it just is, it's freezing, right? There's snow on the ground here. Evergreen, Colorado was absolutely gorgeous. And, but, you know, every guy you get at the coffee show is like, man, it looks cold out here. 72 degrees here at the studio. You're like, all right, tool bag. Yeah, I'm freezing.
Were you doing a call-in with Ed Berliner?
Yeah. Essentially, I was.
Just a never-ending wave of
right.
TV Ed Berliners?
Yes, exactly. Just a bunch of pukers on the morning coffee show.
Oh, my goodness. If
welcome into the morning, Joe. You know, all over the nation. Little small hamlets across the nation.
Right, right, right.
Number 27 market in the nation, Morning Joe. Boy, you look cold. It's warm here from you. Yeah, that was my whole 6 hours sitting out in the cold doing that.
Well, I'm sure you were well compensated.
Yeah, so, I was.
Is it just me, Friday, give you a chance to get stuff off your chest heading off into the long weekend? It can be about anything and everything. So just hit us up on the Ramoslaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. Is it just me, or were you surprised when you saw Nikola Jokic made first team All-NBA? First team.
I was surprised. I mean, pleasantly surprised, but surprised nonetheless. Because it just goes to show you how far he's come and how much people and I don't know how the voting goes on that. How does the voting go? Like, how much is fan voting? How much is team voting? How much is league? You know, GMs and all that. So I'm not sure exactly, but it just goes to show the amount of respect that he has garnered. In the league, not only from the fan bases, but especially, I believe, from the players and the GMs and the guys who count.
Well, so he is now officially the best center in basketball. As he finished ahead of Joel Embiid, Sixer fans were upset about that, but come on, Jokic had the better year.
Well, I think, yeah, I don't know when the voting happened, but when Joel started crying to his girlfriend in the tunnel, I mean, you automatically lose some street cred, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, need to cry on the shoulder of my Instagram model. Yeah, you instantly, you're like, oh, ouch. That's going to grade him down, folks. So good for, I mean, are you ready to give him the, are you finally ready to give him, have you given him superstar status?
No. But look, I am very stingy when I hand out, and.
So you're not going to give him now that he's the MVP, but now that he's the first team All-NBA?
I don't think Paul George is a superstar, and he was on the first team. You know? You know, the way that Giannis and the Bucks are imploding won't put him there. And for everybody who's upset that I do not call Nikola Jokic a superstar, I'm stingy across the board. I just think that that is a watered down term. And I think it's just, there's only a few that deserve to be called superstars. Steph Curry is a superstar. Kevin Durant's a superstar. LeBron's a superstar. And that might be about it. Yeah, they're playing.
What about Kawhi Leonard, the way he's playing right now?
Yeah, but actually, yeah, you know, he's a finals MVP, right? Champion. Yeah, I'd probably put Kawhi up there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm, There are plenty of stars around the league.
I'd
put Jokic in the star category, but I mean, come on, I just think superstar ought to be just left to the special.
So let me ask you a real quick question before we go to break. Who do you hate more, Elway or Jokic?
Well, for those who think that I hate John Elway, nice job with the tease there. Maybe you should take over the teases. If you think I hate John Elway, I want John Elway to be fired. Wait until you hear this coming up next.
This is Steve.
Hi.
Steve loves manila folders.
It's true.
That's why he started a company supplying manila folders to large corporations.
In both white and eggshell.
What Steve doesn't love is spending time paying suppliers and browsing for loans. Luckily, First Bank offers time-saving treasury management tools and business loans, so you can spend more time with your passion, even if it's manila folders.
In both white and eggshell.
Okay, Steve. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Go to efirstbank.com/business for more details.
All right, so you like to get on me. Saying that I hate you.
Moi? I like to get on you?
And in some respects, I'm honored because, and I'm touched because.
You are touched.
A little touched, but.
A little bit.
My wedge driving ways have rubbed off on you in some ways because you'd like to. Stick the wedge in there when it comes to, well, you clearly hate John Elway. I'm like, no, I don't hate John Elway. I don't want John Elway fired. I just say that I want I want some accountability for the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want any talk of his job performance over the last 3 years to be met with, yeah, but he went to two Super Bowls and division titles. I'm like Tommy Lee Jones in The Fugitive.
Oh, yeah.
When he's looking at Harrison Ford and he says, I don't care.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
I didn't kill my wife. I don't care.
I don't care.
Okay, yeah. I don't care.
And then he dives off the embankment there that says, hey, damn, right?
Yeah.
Scary.
Anywho. So, I don't call for John Elway's head, but our buddy in the afternoon on the drive, Tom Nalen, yesterday, did.
Hey, if this all comes tumbling down, I'll be the first one to say hey, I was wrong. Elway should be fired. Joe Ellis, they need to find a new owner, sell the team. Let's just burn it to the ground now.
Burn it. What would be the burn it result? What's the burn bag just scenario?
A complete 180.
But like what? The record? 8-8? Is 8-8 burn?
8-8's not good enough.
Wait. 8-8 is burn it to the ground.
Look at Mike Shanahan.
Seriously?
Mike Shanahan's first year here, like Vic Fangio, went 8-8. The entire roster, outside of a few guys, was overhauled. The next year, 13-3. After the 13-3 year, the entire roster was overhauled. Till we got to the Super Bowl. That's how it works.
Hold on. So are you firing John Elway after an 8-8 season?
Yep.
Wow.
Have to.
Dang.
How about that? If they go 8-8 or worse.
Dang.
Burn it to the ground. Unleash the hounds.
Sounds like somebody's watching too much GOT.
Bring the dragon.
Right.
Into King's Landing. I mean, go full Drogon on the whole Dove Valley.
No.
8-8, huh?
8-8. Well, see you later.
I mean, listen, 8-8.
I mean, that's a little.
8-8 would be a sign that all 8-8 would prove that it wasn't just Vance Joseph's fault, and simply bringing new coaches doesn't solve everything, and that there has been a talent drain around here for the last few years. But 8-8 wouldn't it represent that at least you might be trending in the right direction?
See, I think to me it represents that you recognize that your talent wasn't good enough. You started to infuse more talent through free agency, through the draft. You had a better draft plan than you'd had in past years. And like you've recognized the mistakes you've made, you're headed in the right direction. Isn't that what does 8-8 doesn't say that? Feels like that's what it says to me. Like, hey, pump your brakes. Let's see where we go after another off season of infusing more talent, better draft, as the guys that were drafted a couple of years ago, like a Cortland Sutton, like a Josie Jewell, as those guys mature. You know, see where you are with Joe Flacco, see where you are with Drew Locke and all that stuff. It just like 8-8 feels like 8-8 feels like you're going in the right direction. Now, if you fall back the other way, another 6-10, 5-11 season, well then it may be time to look at the front office and say, hey, you know, what decisions and where are we going from here? How are we gonna get to where we want to go? But 8-8 doesn't feel that way to me.
I mean, if they go 8-8, how do you think we feel about Joe Flacco coming out of an 8-8 season?
Oh, if we go 8-8, like, how do I feel or how do the fan base feel?
How do you think an 8-8 Joe Flacco season would look? Remember, you're playing the Chiefs twice. You're playing the Chargers twice.
I understand. Here's the
playing the Chiefs. You know who that means.
Oh, Showtime?
Yeah.
Twice?
Showtime! That's just from Millennial Ben.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Like, 8-8, you could look at 8-8 and you could see Joe Flacco and what he has done. He could play really well and this team could go 8-8. He could have a really good, solid season and that team could go 8-8. Like, it's not, the numbers, you know, that like, what is it? The numbers don't lie, but they don't always tell the truth. Like, you can't just base it on numbers and win losses. You got to see how individual guys play. You got to see how Joe Flacco play. Now, I understand that Bronco country will look at 8-8 and go, it's time for Drew Locke, you know, and our boy D-Mac in the afternoon will be, you know, leading the charge with pitchforks and Latins. Right? Because, it's time now. You've got a young quarterback. You've got to.
He'd be like, trade everybody to move up and try to get a
top five
pick.
Oh, right. You got to get
Tua.
Tagovailoa.
You got to have a guy in the top five.
Right.
Well, no, if they go 8-8, the feeling about Joe Flacco will not be good because this defense will be good. Okay? Right? The defense will be good this year. Defense was good last year. It wasn't great, but it was good. It was tied for 12th in the NFL in scoring defense. That's above average. That's good in my mind. It's not great, but it's good. So I have no doubt that this defense this year will be at least equally as good.
You keep going to scoring defense.
Yeah, because I never liked the idea that total offense or total defense is rated by yards gained or yards allowed. Last I checked, that's not what we keep score on.
I know, but that's the official. Where's the official defense rank based on yards allowed?
22nd.
Oh, so
yeah,
you,
but you're.
I feel like you're leading the witness
Here's where I'm a bit jaded by the whole thing.
Okay.
Love Mike Shanahan, Mike. If you're listening, I love you. But he always used to pull that. He'd be like, well, you know, we're top five in offense, and then you'd look down, you'd be like, yeah, but you're like 14th in scoring offense. So what does that really matter if you're top five in total offense, if you're like 14th in points scored? And today it's about points, right? It's about scoring points. It's about giving up points. So the Broncos were tied for 12th in scoring defense. By the way, augmented by a lousy offense, and they were still tied for 12th in scoring defense. So, my point is that I think that this will still be a good defense, at least, maybe even better than good. But they had a good defense last year and went 6-10 with Case Keenum. They have a good defense this year and go 8-8 with Joe Flacco. We're not going to be coming away from this season going, oh yeah, Joe's our guy.
I think Mike Evans is officially changing the way we rank defenses now.
We should do it my way.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, Commissioner Evans.
Well, I've never understood that. That's always been a pet peeve of mine. How can you be?
Is there any way that maybe?
How can you be called first in offense when you're like fifth in scoring? How can you be the top offense in the NFL when there are four teams that have scored more points than you?
Because sometimes scoring doesn't come from offense. You can score on the defensive side. You get a short field. You know, I mean, it can be there's no perfect system because there all can be kind of the anomalies that are laid out.
All right. So if the Broncos go out and win a game 20-13, but give up 425 yards, you're going to say that wasn't a good defensive performance?
Yeah, you could say that. What if there was a wide open drop pass in the end zone by the opponent that would have won it for him?
All right.
And,
you're going to play this game?
Yeah.
You're going to nitpick?
Mm-hmm.
Really? You hold a team to 13 points, win the game, give up 425 yards in the process, you're going to be like, yeah, 13 points, man. That was great, but they just gave up too many yards. You're the kind of guy
Do you think the coaches would be like, hey, guys, you know, 13 points, that's awesome, but we don't even have to worry about the 450 yards of offense we gave up. We're not even going to watch the film. It's all good. As long as they keep dropping passes in the end zone, we're winning a lot of games.
All right, so if I'm going to I can play the nitpick game then. All right, here you go. You lose the game 23-20. You give up three touchdowns on all three big plays of 60, 70 yards. At the end of the day, though, you only give up 350 yards of total offense.
Yeah, are you going to sit there
and say,
hey, guys, great job.
You only held them with they only got 350 yards of offense. That's going to put you in the top 10 in the NFL in total defense, you know.
Right.
350 yards. But you gave up three long touchdowns and you lost the football game.
See? Exactly what I'm saying, Mike.
Oh, you hutch snot. All right. Coming up in the morning brew. Geez, is this Rocky staff going to gain any kind of consistency? Just when you think that they're turning the corner, they go the other way. That's next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's time for your morning brew.
Things are going to get weird.
You're going to eat lightning, and you're going to crack thunder.
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers. Stat!
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues? What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This is some serious gourmet s***.
Let's get it on!
A calf situation that we're going to monitor. We're very cautious with that, so nothing really more I can add to that, except we took him on for precautionary reasons for the calf.
It is not a good day yesterday for Bud Black's Rockies as they get pounded on by the Pirates 14-6. And he had to pull Charlie Blackman out because of that calf problem that you just heard him describe. Mark, as this team continues to sludge along at 22-26, the fact that it's the starting pitching that we just can't rely upon going into this season, that we thought that was going to be the undeniable strength, but other than Herman Marquez, who can you trust when they go out there?
Well, right,
I'm not sure.
Yeah, right now nobody. I mean, he's the only guy that you can trust. And John Gray has had some really good outings. He's scuffled a time or two, but he's had some really good outings. But the lack of consistency is what you worry about. You know, all the baseball guys I know always say the great pitchers, you know, when they're on, they're going to mow through lineups. That's what they do. The great pitchers, though, when they're not on, when they don't have their A plus stuff, they find a way to grind out 7 innings or 6 2/3 innings of quality baseball. They find a way to put their team in line for a win. When we're off, we're out in 1.2 or 2.4 or 3 or 2.4, 2.2 or 3.1 innings. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just like we can't fight through that right now. So the lack of consistency there, I mean, you know what it does. It puts pressure on the hitters because they've got to start swinging. It's got to put pressure on the bullpen. I mean, that's where it, oh, God, look, I can see your little,
hold on a second. Hate to sound like hockey guy, but 3.1?
You know,
it's like three and a third.
3 1/3. You know what
3.2, it's 3 2/3.
I know exactly what it is.
No good baseball fan ever would call it 3.1.
3 1/3.
Thank you.
All right. 3 2/3. Yeah, I know exactly what it is.
Gosh.
You know what I was saying.
3.1.
Oh, my.
You are.
That's not a blue area. That's the crease. I hate your guts. God, you just all of a sudden you became hockey dude.
Next on the morning brew.
A block shot from Paul Millsap. Jokic for three.
Congratulations to Nikola Jokic, named first team All NBA. And it really wasn't in doubt when you look at the final voting. Mark, how much, if at all, will this make a difference in the Nuggets being able to lure a big time free agent here?
Oh, I definitely think it helps. I mean, to have him, to understand that you've got a backcourt that is, you know, continuing to improve, continuing to grow, you know, it's going to get better. I think that this would be a viable place for, you know, for a guy to come say, hey, man, we can compete here for, you know, Western Conference Finals, and we can get to that kind of place.
Here's the other thing, too. Jokic is not the kind of guy that has to be the man. And if you pay attention to NBA free agency, it is a big time ego stroke that goes on with this stuff. And to me, it's a huge detriment for the league, in which, you know, I look up and we got ESPN on, and, you know, Brian Windhorst is reporting that LeBron James has already reached out to Kawhi Leonard and Jimmy Butler and Kevin. These guys are playing. These guys are playing right now.
Right.
For their teams, for their fans, for their cities, for their organizations. And there's this recruiting going on.
Isn't that tampering?
It's tampering. If any team did it, they'd be here with a $500,000
fine. Right, I'm saying it's got to be for the Lakers because doesn't LeBron run everything?
Well, good point. Good point. That is
he's in the front office.
That's a very astute point. So why isn't he treated like front office? Why aren't they fined? Doc drafting. But the thing about Jokic is that you could bring in a big-time free agent who would definitely come in here with the idea that, well, because I'm who I am and because of what I'm getting paid, I'm the guy. And you know what? I think guys like Jokic and Jamal Murray probably would be cool with that. I don't think that there would be a butting of heads that would create all kinds of tension. Next on the Morning Brew.
Watching some of the Bears film and seeing those guys run around, obviously, you know, Eddie Jackson and Amos making plays. And, you know, I had the same feeling of similar to when I was coming out of, you know, like the draft process and watching Denver play in the Super Bowl. Like, you know, that looks like a defense that I'd want to be a part of. And so I was just super excited to hear that, you know, we picked him up. And, you know, now I have a chance to put my footprint on the defense.
Justin Simmons, when you look at the guys that are poised to really flourish in a Vic Fangio defense, would Justin Simmons be up near the top of your list? What you know about this defense?
Absolutely. I mean, the safeties, you look at what the safeties for the Chicago Bears were able to accomplish. Yeah, for sure. I think that's a very reasonable, you know, a very reasonable thing to assume that he's going to thrive and he's going to have an opportunity to do that. I do have a point of order, you know, much like you gave me the grief for the innings. Do you really put your footprint on something, or 3. Do you put
1.
You put your footprint on something, or would you put your thumbprint on the defense?
Oh, well, I've always gone with footprint.
You put your footprint
put your footprint. I mean, your foot. That's like your foot.
I think you put your foot down. I don't know.
Your footprint. That's something that's definite. A thumb.
You put your thumb.
What does the heck does your thumb represent?
Do you put on your.
We don't even need our thumbs.
Are you kidding me? They're opposable. There's only a few of us, like humans and a couple of monkeys, that have opposable thumbs. They're an incredible invention.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe science. Maybe it's the pinky. Yeah, we don't need the pinky.
Yeah, you can lop that thing off. Yeah. Like,
well, see you later.
Yeah. You don't need that. But it's always a thumb. Like, you come into an organization, you want to put your thumbprint on the organization, not your footprint on it.
No, it's footprint.
No, it's thumbprint.
Hey, listen. When, you know, whenever we have our kids put their little things down in the concrete, we're not having them put their thumbs down. It's their little feets that we are able to look back on years and later. And then we look back at it. You know, when we laid down the concrete for our new house, for our garage, it was the little footprints. Wasn't thumbprint.
You put your thumbprint on an organization, not your footprint, I think. I'm telling you.
All right. Well, you go with...
Here we go.
You go with thumbprint and dauber up. I go with footprint and dauber down.
You are dauber down.
That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. What about Justin Simmons? What about Adam Gotsis? What about this defense? Who are poised to take off under Vic Fangio? Cecil Lammy from 1043thefan.com. He's been out at DOTA. He'll join us coming up next. Cecil Lammy from 1043thefan.com. Been doing a great job all week, chronicling everything going on with the Broncos OTA. He joins us now. Morning, Cecil.
Good morning, fellas.
So give me the latest update. OTAs, what's going on over there in Broncos land? How they looking? You know, give us some insight.
Well, right now, in this part of the offseason, Stink, as you well know, the defense is going to be ahead of the offense, and that's exactly what we're seeing. On Monday's practice, we got to see the whole thing, and it was a defensive day. Like, the offense could barely get anything going. Didn't really matter if it was Joe Flacco leading the way or Drew Lock. Now, it wasn't terrible. It's not like Flacco was out there throwing a bunch of picks. In fact, one of the things that I've noted about Joe Flacco over the last couple of weeks of OTAs is that he doesn't make a lot of mistakes. There's not a lot of errant throws, and these aren't just check down throws, right? He's not Trevor Siemian or Case Keenum where he can't throw past, you know, 7 yards. Like, he's challenging the defense. He's taking some shots. Now, they didn't have great success on Monday because this Broncos defense looks like all that, but it's not that Flacco makes a ton of mistakes out there, and very few, like, errant passes. You see a lot of errant passes with Drew Lock or Kevin Hogan or Brett Rippon, who's barely getting any work, but really it's defense is the order of the day, and this Broncos defense looks like it's going to have teeth. And then you think, wait a second, they don't even have Chris Harris. They don't even have Isaac Yadam out there. Like, oh my God, this defense could be exactly back where they want it to be.
What is going to be the difference? So for Bronco fan, they've seen us play the last couple of years, and if you're an astute fan, you know that this defense has, you know, historically since Wade Phillips been a lot of man coverage, a lot of press man. They run a lot of that. Obviously, they mix some stuff in, but that's kind of been what, you know, the no fly zone has been noticed for, recognized for. What's going to be different when you watch the Broncos in 2019 under Vic Fangio? What kind of differences are should you expect to see?
Zone disguises and constant pressure. Like one thing, Wade Phillips, everyone knows the Wade Phillips defense, and it's awesome. This is no shot at Wade. It's probably a shot at distracted Joe Woods, but whatever. You know, distracted Joe Woods has his own things going on. But with Wade Phillips, you knew what was coming, right? You knew by their formation, okay, here's, it's got to be one of this, either this or that. It's kind of easy to decipher, but it's tough to beat. That's the Wade Phillips defense. Well, with Vic Fangio's defense, it's disguising. It's a lot of zone. It's, you know, 4-3 under fronts. It's a 3-4 look. It's like all sorts of things. And I thought Justin Simmons yesterday put it perfectly. We each have to be in each other's shoes. And then he went on to describe, like, you've got to know that if this safety is showing this look, then if you're a linebacker, you can't be showing a different look. Like, you have to all be on the same page because it is constant disguise. It is taking an opponent by surprise. It is blitzing often. Like, it's a lot of pressure, and it's a lot of problems, if you will, for an offense to decipher what this Broncos defense is going to do, because Vic Fangio doesn't want to tip his hand, and these guys are energized by that, because now, instead of, it was weird, with Joe Woods' defense has been described to me by players as being too simple. And then also, so at some times, too complex. So it's interesting to note how this year this team seems energized. The defenders seems energized because they know they're going to be disguised. They know they're going to be bringing different looks. And that's going to be a problem for opponents this year.
All right. So when you say a zone defense, my first thought is this is a defense that is prepared to be more of a bend but don't break defense. Is that a fair characterization, or is that just, you know, too vanilla of a take there, that, well, if you're zone, you're prepared to just be bend but don't break?
I don't think it's bend but don't break. I think it's more Ivan Drago, I will break you, because of the zone pressures that they have. I mean, they were bringing some heat. You know, again, per Broncos media policy, we can't exactly say everything that's going on out there, but just know that there's a lot of heat being brought to the table by this defense. So zone usually does mean that, Mike. You're correct in that assessment. But I think in this time, with the it's like a fire zone. You know, these guys are bringing heat from different places all the time. So it's what it says to me is those players in the secondary are going to and should have a field day in terms of field flipping plays, in terms of interceptions, in terms of gaining and getting more turnovers. And we don't really factor that in when we talk about the Broncos. We say, oh, yeah, they're going to run the ball. They're going to play great defense. Well, what if this defense is scoring? What if this defense is taking the ball away? I mean, this is very exciting on that side of the ball. Offense, we've got some issues. But defensive side of the ball, very exciting what they could do.
Offensively, you know, you look at Joe Flacco, you look at, you know, coming into this offense in which kind of he ran in 2014 under Gary Kubiak. What's different, I guess, about this offense and Rick Scangarello? Because obviously Bill Musgrave ran a lot of the same principles and stuff. So what looks different offensively this year compared to the past couple of years?
I think the middle of the field is going to be more of a factor, which it should be, because that's where the game is trending. You know, Stank with all the slot receivers and underneath guys and tight ends. That's where the game is going. The middle of the field is where you're going to live. It's why safeties are getting paid now. It was like 5 years ago, safeties weren't getting paid. And now all of a sudden, safeties are getting paid big time because, well, they know to attack the middle of the field, you got to have someone to defend that. So this Scangarello offense, the way it looks, it's very traditional. I think Broncos fans are going to be very familiar with it. You know, the work from under center, the play action passing, the boot keeps, all that type of stuff. This is Shanahan Kubiak system all over again. But it seems like there's more of an emphasis on the middle of the field. And that's something that's exciting when you think about what Noah Fant could be. Fant getting that, you know, signing his big deal yesterday. Well, Fant is the guy who could come in and be that seam ripper, something completely different, even different from Julius Thomas, who, as much as I love JT, and I discovered him at the Shrine game. Sorry, Mike, you didn't get that one. He was a guy that benefited from Peyton Manning. We all know that. He benefited greatly. He would never be the same without Peyton Manning. He wasn't when he left Denver. Well, Noah Fant can be great with Joe Flacco. Noah Fant can be great with Drew Lock. We've seen him make big plays down the field. We've seen him work the sidelines. And mainly, we've seen him kind of own that middle portion of the field. And that's the exciting part.
All right, Cease, man. Really appreciate you. Thanks for all the work you're doing, man.
Be good, fellas.
All right, there he is, Cease Lammy. Check them all out at 1043thefan.com. All the content, videos, columns, blogs, and appearances like that. So, real quick, when you have done Bears games, you've seen the Vic Fangio defense, you've studied the Vic Fangio defense. For all of us who've gotten used to the idea of man all over the place, win individual battles, mm-hmm. to be more of a zone team, is that... When I hear a team's more zone, it's like, hey, they're more passive. They're going to try to trick you rather than just go out and beat you man-to-man. Is that a poor representation of what they try to do? I mean, you've watched this defense. Will it be a bit of a shock to Bronco fans who've been used to watching this defense play one way? Will it stand out how they're playing a different way?
I don't know that it'll stand out that much, Mike. I think one of the things you have to understand is what Cecil was talking about. With zone, you know, blitz pressure. Yeah, so you're bringing five, you're bringing extra guys, you're playing zone behind it. And a lot of times what you're trying to do is you're trying to get guys and quarterbacks to recognize where blitz is coming from, to throw, you know, into the blitz, away from the blitz, wherever it is. And you're telling your guys with zone eyes. And one thing about zone eyes is you're not turning your back to the quarterback. So, you can, if there's pressure, if you read it correctly, if you assume, hey guys, when we get this and we give them this look, this quarterback is going here. So jump this route. You know, we're playing zone. Your eyes are on the quarterback as a zone defender. So it's about creating turnovers. It's about being aggressive. It's about putting the quarterback on his back. That's what you're talking about.
Okay, the Rockies are back home to open up a homestand. They'll be taking on the dreadful Baltimore Orioles, and you're going to be able to see Stokely and Zach broadcasting live at Blake Street Tavern, one block from the ballpark, from 12 to 3 today. Enjoy some lunch and register to win a $50 gift card courtesy of Blake Street Tavern. All right, you are set to clear the air.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I am. I am set to clear the air. Yeah, I think we need to bring... what Tommy Nalen said about 8-8. 8-8, is that a fireable offense here in Denver?
For John Elway.
For John Elway, yeah.
All right, clear the air next.